Hare Krishna. So, I welcome you all to seminar on Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya of ISKCON. I would like to say a few things before I start the seminar. A seminar is not just a class that takes place in the temple room. Seminar is a special arrangement to understand a special topic. Therefore, the involvement in the seminar must be very genuine and very demanding. When you go to listen to a Bhagavatam class, we just go there, listen to the class, and then if we have some questions, we ask the questions and then we leave. But when you come to a seminar, we have to focus ourselves to that topic, and it's naturally expected that everybody who are participating in the seminar should be prepared to take notes. That's one of the initial requirements. So those who did not bring pen and paper, please bring it tomorrow. And generally when I give a seminar, I hand out notes. But this time I decided not to hand out the notes at the beginning of the seminar. Rather, I would hand out the notes at the end of the seminar so that you can compare the notes that you have taken and the notes that you have received from me. And also, another reason why I am not giving the notes is because when I give notes, I notice that one tends to focus on the notes. Just one tends to look at the notes while listening to the class or listening to the seminar, but I want you to just absorb in hearing, get absorbed in hearing, and by hearing you take the notes. And another consideration would be that those who are participating in the seminar, as I mentioned, that I want the participation to be sincere and involving. So I will request everybody that you come before or come on time. Don't just walk in at your convenience. And so we will do, in order to make the time and the punctuality an important factor, 15 minutes after the seminar starts, I'm going to close the door. So anybody who comes after that will not be allowed to come in. Do you all like the idea? Because, you see, it's a very concise and focused way of presenting on a certain specific topic. Now, if you're not listening to it from the beginning, you're missing out because you don't know what's actually going on. So, okay, now I'll request, please close these two doors. those who are sitting nearby, just close the doors. It's already 4 o'clock. That means it's already 3 o'clock. So it has been 20 minutes since we started the class. Let's also synchronize our watches. What is your time? 5:23. Okay, then I'll adjust my... Still then, it's 15 minutes. 5:23, so I'll adjust my time also. And also, I would like to mention that this topic is actually a very important topic, and the sole purpose of this seminar is to give a clear understanding of Srila Prabhupada's position. Now, while we are establishing Srila Prabhupada's position as the supreme in the structure of ISKCON, it is not intended to minimize anybody else's position. Rather, we have to see everyone in the light of Srila Prabhupada. So in course of discussion, many relevant topics will come up in the course of the seminar that may sound like, in order to establish Srila Prabhupada's position as the Supreme, we are minimizing someone else's position, but that is not the intention. So I wanted to make this point also very clear. And also, please have a very open and clear mind. And if you have any question, please feel free to ask me in course of our discussion. So, the four days we will be meeting here at this time from 2:40 to 4:10, and the objective of this seminar will be to understand what Srila Prabhupada means in the context of ISKCON and in relation to our own spiritual life. So today we will discuss about, first we'll discuss about what is the meaning of the term founder acharya. So that will be the first topic of discussion, and I was considering I'll be moving around, so I'll be writing on the board, so those who are recording, I'll suggest that you probably put the recorders near the speaker, so that even if I'm moving and if I have the microphone in my hand, then it will record. I mean, so it's just a suggestion. So those who have microphone, those who have recorder, where is the speaker? Speaker ta kothay? Speaker. Sound box. That's, these are the sound boxes? Okay, so one is there. Okay. And that will be better. Then I can take the microphone in my hand and I can speak and everybody can hear. Now, the concept founder acharya was actually first established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prior to that, we don't actually see this expression, founder acharya, at least in our line of Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya. There are there are prominent acharyas like Rupa Goswami, and the line is drawn from them, but that was just a line, a specific flow, a significant flow of Krishna consciousness or teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through some individuals like Rupa Goswami. Also we can consider Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Like for example, our line is Rupanuga Sampradaya. But the expression founder Acharya is very much relevant to the context of an institution. And the importance of an institution has been very specifically pointed out by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now, Bhakti Vinod Thakur's contribution to Krishna consciousness is very significant. Bhakti Vinod Thakur's importance in Gaudiya Vaishnav line is very significant, because Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. If we look at the history, then we will see when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, Krishna consciousness spread very, very effectively. I mean, Mahaprabhu actually flooded not only the land of India, but the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread in the other parts of the world as well. And that is the effect is noticeable in a rather subtle way. For example, we see worldwide there was an enormous progress in different parts of the world also. We see when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, at that time there was this, in Europe was going through a renaissance. Columbus discovered America. Then England was under the rule of Queen Elizabeth I, where England saw a remarkable cultural renaissance. And so in this way we can see when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, the effect of his appearance or his spiritual influence spreads all over the world. These are the few noticeable influences, but there are many other such influences also. And anyway, I don't want to get into the details of that. That's not really very important. The point I was making was that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Krishna consciousness spread in a very significant way throughout India. The entire land of India was affected by Krishna consciousness movement. But then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission continued through... Can somebody just lock the door, please? I just mentioned to lock the door. Well, once again, a reminder to the latecomers, tomorrow at 5 to 3, this door is going to be locked. So those who want to really participate in the seminar, please come before that. And please try to come in time. If the class is at 40 past 2, then you should be here by that time. Huh? Oh, I see. I'm sorry about that. I see. Okay. Yeah, that is a valid reason. I see. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, like if such unforeseen things happen, you know, we can't really do very much. But the point is, well, take note of this point. Like, in ISKCON, we are not really that time conscious. We are not really punctual. Like, if we have a program at 7 o'clock, then we know everybody is going to come at 7:30. And we go also accordingly. It happens with me. They tell me, Maharaj, the program is supposed to start at 7 o'clock, but you can go at 8 o'clock. And the 8 o'clock, because 7:30 everyone will come, they'll have half an hour kirtan and then you can go. But that's not right. We have to become serious, and time is very, very important. You will notice in the material world, I mean, what kind of importance do they give on time? Give to time. Like when you're going to an office, if you're supposed to go at 9 o'clock, what time do you go? 9:30? You do it for 1 week and see how your boss is going to react. When you go to see a movie, when do you go? Does the movie wait for you to come? Or the movie starts on time? And if you are not there, it's your bad luck. And when you, if you miss first 15 minutes of the movie, what happens? The movie is actually half gone. The significance of the theme will not be revealed to you properly. So, to go back to that point, Srila Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, prior to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spiritual domain, at least in India or the Vedic culture, was very simple. Like, somebody wanted to take to spiritual life, he would just leave home and go and join some ashram and take his instruction from his spiritual master. The ashram setups used to be very small. A guru would have 10-15 disciples and he would personally take care of them and instruct them. But when after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spiritual activities or the spiritual involvement became very different. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started a massive spiritual program. Previously, it was an individual consideration. I want to take to spiritual life and I practice it and then find a guru. And in a small little setup, I keep on progressing in my spiritual life. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually made a collective endeavor for spiritual advancement. That is a revolution in the spiritual domain, a collective endeavor for spiritual advancement. And this collective endeavor was the Sankirtan. Like everybody get together and chant the holy name and follow the simple process of spiritual life. That is, if one wants to take to spiritual life, then he must follow certain principles. And that is, one should not eat meat, one should not take intoxication, one should not indulge in illicit sex, and one should gamble. So that was the general way of getting involved in Sankirtan movement. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a wonderful prediction, an incredible prediction. And the prediction was that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world, in every town and village. Not only all over the world, but in every town and village. It's actually an incredible prediction. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, makes a prediction, is it going to go in vain? No. He is God. So what he says must come true. Like, for example, during the Battle of Kurukshetra, at the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna told Arjuna that they are all dead. Bhishma, Drona, Karna, they are all dead. Duryodhan, Dushyasana, all their brothers are dead. So Arjuna could see what would happen. Because Krishna's word was not going to go in vain. And Arjuna didn't have any doubt, but still Arjuna fought the battle. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the prediction that Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world. But in order to fulfill that, we have to become involved. And in order to make this happen, the first point is, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Krishna consciousness movement would spread throughout the world in every town and village, it is bound to happen. But it will happen with the involvement of his devotees. And in order to make that, in order to make us understand that point, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was he made Krishna consciousness, his teachings, practically disappear from this planet soon after his disappearance. Soon after means about 100-150 years after his disappearance. Only in some remote corners of Vrindavan and Navadvip, the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was existing. Otherwise, all over India, Mahaprabhu's teachings were practically lost. The people who were claiming themselves to be the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were actually the agents of Kali. They were not the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they are known as upper sampradayas. And they have been classified as Aul, Baul, Lara, Leri, Shai, Sahajiya, Shokhi Bheki, Churadhari, Gaur Nagari, Jati Goshai, etc. So apparently Mahaprabhu's movement was going on, but actually Mahaprabhu's teachings was lost. And as a result of that, educated, intelligent and cultured people did not want to have anything to do with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is how Kali actually spread his influence and completely pushed Mahaprabhu's movement aside. Kali took over. Kali succeeded in obliterating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. But then came Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now Bhakti Vinod Thakur did two things. What was lost, he revived in two ways. What was actually lost? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings was lost, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham was lost. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham is Navadvip, and the center of Navadvip is Mayapur. But the Kali's agents actually identified some other place as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. People in general had a misconception that those places are actually the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and he pointed out that actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here, not there. This is how we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the six Goswamis had a very close link. Like, what did the six Goswamis do? What did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instruct the six Goswamis? To revive or to retrieve, rediscover Sri Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and write scriptures, the pure teachings of Sri Krishna. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur also did the same thing. He discovered Mayapur, the real birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the nine islands of Navadvip in relation to that. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur revived the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just to give an example, like how degraded or how distorted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings became through the degraded activities of these individuals who are known as the Apasampradayas. Like, you see, dharma stands on how many legs? Four legs. What are those four legs? Austerity, mercy, cleanliness, and truthfulness. When these four principles break, then what happens? You get meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Now, those who are claiming themselves to be the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many of them, whatever their siddhanta or whatever their practice was, it was actually based on breaking these principles. That means they were justifying meat eating and fish eating in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were justifying taking intoxication. They were justifying illicit sex. Can you imagine, like, anybody who has any understanding of spiritual life knows that spiritual life means one has to conquer sex desire. Now, indulging in sex life, and that also illicit sex life, is justified in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are certain sampradayas who think, or their policy is, that in order to practice this teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is Radha Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, the practitioner has to elope with somebody else's wife. Unless you do that, then you are not qualified. So this became, this is how degraded the whole scene became in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then came Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he started the revival. And it was very remarkable the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. Can you imagine, about 150 years ago, that was the scenario. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and he completely transformed the line of, or what was going on in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. It established a pure principles of Krishna consciousness according to the pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were established by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He printed books, he started to print books. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur started his revival work, there was no Chaitanya Charitamrita. He couldn't find the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the essential literature, scripture, to present Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. After a lot of endeavor, Bhaktivinoda Thakur found one handwritten copy. That also in Orissa, not in Bengal. He found one handwritten copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then what did Bhaktivinoda Thakur do? Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote the purport on that Chaitanya Charitamrita known as the Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, the commentary which is a flow of nectar. And then he started to print, and then he started to print other books relating to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and teachings, like Chaitanya Bhagavat, and he wrote himself extensively establishing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. He was an incredibly brilliant character. He's a wonderful personality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the way he presented Krishna consciousness is remarkable. Can you imagine, in simple poetry, he presented Krishna consciousness. And that's why Prabhupada said that Bengali is such an important language. Prabhupada said that the devotees of ISKCON will learn Bengali just to study Chaitanya Charitamrita and other literatures. And of all these literatures, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's literatures has a very, very special place. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur foresaw the need of an institution. He himself couldn't establish the institution, but he gave the blueprint of that institution, and that is called Namhat. Namhat literally means the marketplace. I thought that I would write the points on the board, but if I do that, then I can't use the microphone. So does it matter if I don't write the points on the board? Is it okay? Okay, so I'll just then sit here and speak. So Namhat means the marketplace of the holy name, of the market. That means he gave the structure of a business organization. Now, in the business organization, they have a commodity to sell. Now, in this business, what is the commodity that they were selling? Commodity that was being sold? Holy name of Krishna. So this is a place, or this is an organization that is meant to sell the holy name. And then he gave the structure. Who is the sole selling agent of this commodity? Nityananda Prabhu. And who is the supplier? Who is the producer? Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the production, the factory, the owner of the factory is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now you manufacture something in a factory, and then you have give up the distributorship or soul selling agency. Now Nityananda Prabhu is the soul selling agent. And then from the soul selling agent you get the other agents, right, and the distributors, and then it goes to shops, the retail shops, and then it is sold out to the customers, right? So this is the marketplace, a business institution. Like those days, business used to take place in the markets and not in World Trade Centers. So he gave the structure of that marketplace. And so if you want to buy this commodity or if you want to sell this commodity, how it should be done, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a very clear structure. And it's very interesting to note that Bhaktivinoda, you know, in that business organization, what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's role? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the sweeper. Sweeper to keep the place clean. So much garbage already entered. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw the need of keeping the marketplace clean. So this is the structure that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur could not implement this concept. Therefore, as you all know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed to Lord Jagannath. Prayed to Lord Jagannath to send him a qualified assistant. And as a result of his prayer, Lord Jagannath sent him Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a very, very effective thrust to Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement after Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur created the field, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established Krishna consciousness on that field in the form of Gauriya Mat or Gauriya Mission. Now here we see a structure, and in that structure, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's position is the founder acharya. He is the founder acharya because he founded the institution. And the other day, during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day in the class, I was mentioning that actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also faced so much opposition in order to do that. Even his own brother went against him and started to find faults with his presentation. He was saying that what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was doing was not right. The line that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur drew, the disciplic succession, he went against that line. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that the line is flowing from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And prior to that also, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev Vidyabhushan to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. This is not a line on a diksha consideration. Thakur was not a diksha disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Rather, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's diksha guru was one Bipin Bihari Goswami. But the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't draw the line through Bipin Bihari Goswami. Now, these are all very revolutionary concept. But so much so that his own brother couldn't accept it. Therefore, it became so bitter that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him to leave the temple, leave his ashram, leave the mat. I mean, the conflict became so unpleasant. So in this way, we can see that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took a very bold and dynamic step to establish an institution with a very clear concept of what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line actually meant. And he established an institution, and he emphasized the importance of that institution, saying that maintain this institution no matter what happens, no matter whatever sacrifice you have to make, but maintain that institution at the expense of sacrificing your own interest. Maintain that institution. Why did he do that? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not just seeing an immediate field of Krishna propagation of Krishna consciousness. They were foreseeing a field that would spread all over the world. And they saw that in order to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, an institution is absolutely necessary. Now, if you want to establish an institution, if you want to uphold an institution, then what is the most important factor for an institution? The head of the institution and the structure of management. Is it clear, this point? If you want to see a successful institution, these two things must be in place. Even in the material platform, you consider a very successful institution. What do you see behind the institution? Like, take the name of, just consider any big internet multinational company. Say Sony. When you see Sony, what impression comes to your mind at first? The person who established that institution, right? Without Mr. Sony, or whatever his name is, I don't know, would there be any Sony? Without Henry Ford, would there be any Ford? Without any Rockefeller, will there be any Rockefeller Foundation? No. So it is the personality who establishes that institution, his position is absolutely essential in holding this institution together. And at the same time, there has to be a very, very organized structure of management, or the line of authority. Is that point clear? Now, if we want to see a very successful and effective spiritual institution, then we have to consider these two points. The founder acharya's position, the position of the founder acharya, and the management structure. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before leaving the planet, he told his disciples, when they asked who would become the next acharya, or how the institution would continue, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's reply was, do you all know what was his reply? Manage the society through the governing body. Now, many of his followers could not really understand the importance of that instruction. And as a result of that, Gauriya Math became divided. Some opted for maintaining the society through the governing body, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned, and some others went in for appointing an acharya. In this way, first they became divided. And then, those who appointed an acharya, unfortunately that acharya fell down. Now consider, the whole structure, whatever was left of the structure, was resting on that one person. Now when that person falls down, then what happens? the structure collapses. And that's how Gaudiya Math fell apart. And Prabhupada told us repeatedly, don't make the same mistake that my God brothers made after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. Guru Maharaj told them to manage the society through a governing body. But they didn't do that, and as a result of that, the structure collapsed. Now, it became clear to the minds of the ISKCON leaders that the structure of a GBC, or maintaining the society, managing the society through a GBC body, is absolutely essential. And we are seeing the result of that also. Like, because the GBC is in place in ISKCON, since ISKCON is still being managed by the GBC, although ISKCON had gone through many, many very damaging situations, although ISKCON has gone through a lot of crises and calamities, ISKCON is still going strong. Does anybody have any doubt about that? So in spite of the fall downs of so many leaders of our movement, this ISKCON is still going strong. Why? Because we have the GBC body as the ultimate managing authority of ISKCON. So in this way we can see the importance of maintaining this institution through a definite line of management. So I'll go back to that point that I was trying to make, that in order to have a proper structure, we need two elements. We need two considerations. What are those two considerations? Yeah, the head of the institution and the structure of management. So that is why it is very important that we recognize the importance of Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya. Now let us consider Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya. Like, if Srila Prabhupada is not the founder Acharya, say let us hypothetically consider, we don't recognize Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya, and Srila Prabhupada is forgotten. What will be the structure of ISKCON? Can you imagine ISKCON without Srila Prabhupada? We can't actually think of it. We can't even imagine what would happen. On the other hand, let us consider Srila Prabhupada's position, how naturally Srila Prabhupada's position has been established. Like, when we see ISKCON, we immediately see that ISKCON is an institution that is founded on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And these teachings of Srila Prabhupada are presented through his books. So Srila Prabhupada's books are going to be there. And in ISKCON we see that Srila Prabhupada's books have the absolute importance. In the mornings we give Bhagavatam class on whose books? Srila Prabhupada's books. In the evenings we give Bhagavad Gita class on whose teachings? Srila Prabhupada's teachings, as it has been presented in the books. Whenever we discuss and whenever we have any doubt about certain siddhanta, certain spiritual conclusion, then what do we immediately consider? Is it, what did Prabhupada say in his books? Isn't it? So in this way, through Srila Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's positions have been, proposition has been established. And that position will remain unshaken. And that is why in ISKCON, nobody can actually take Srila Prabhupada's position. Srila Prabhupada's unique position will always be there. And this is how we can see Srila Prabhupada's ingenuity. The genius of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wrote the books while, even before he established the institution, he started to write the books. And he founded this institution on his books so that nobody can have any doubt or any controversy of the Siddhanta or the understanding of this institution and the purpose of this institution. Like we can, now we can draw a corollary. Like whenever we see a spiritual institution, what do we see? Like look at our own sampradaya. Who is the head of our sampradaya? Brahma. Although Brahma gave the teaching, since time immemorial, but still his position is intact. Or we can consider Rudra Sampradaya. Lord Shiva's position in that sampradaya is intact. Similarly, we can consider more recent spiritual organizations like Christianity. Can you think of Christianity without Jesus Christ? Can you think of what would be Christianity without Jesus Christ? And all the Christians, among the Christians there may be so many differences and all, but all of them accept Jesus' position. Similarly with Muhammad. All the Muslims, you know, the Shias may be fighting with the Sunnis and so on and so forth, but everyone accepts Muhammad's position. So this is the meaning of the foundational head, the personality who actually establishes that institution. Now in the context of ISKCON, who is that personality? Srila Prabhupada. Can anybody have any doubt? No. Now the question may arise here that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur should be the founder Acharya. Sometimes some individuals claim that. And what is my response to them? If you didn't destroy Gauriya Math, then yes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would have been the founder Acharya. But unfortunately, you destroyed it. And Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's position in ISKCON has to be recognized. Like, if we say, now let us see the scenario. If we say Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, then what will happen? All the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will come and take over ISKCON. Won't it happen naturally? And they will say, this is our institution. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the founder Acharya. And they will fail to recognize Srila Prabhupada's position, and along with that, they will fail to recognize the way Srila Prabhupada structured this institution. Therefore, in ISKCON, we have to recognize Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya. That doesn't mean that we are undermining the position of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. No, that's not my intention at all. Rather, we worship Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada always carried the lotus feet of his spiritual master on his head. And he always admitted that whatever he had done was simply due to the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But when it came to establishing the founder Acharya, Prabhupada made it very clear that he is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. And Prabhupada was so emphatic about that point that Prabhupada mentioned that wherever there is a mention of the name ISKCON, his name as the founder Acharya must be there. Now this is actually was very surprising to me at that time. Like, I was there when Prabhupada said that, and I was wondering, Srila Prabhupada in one hand is so humble, but why Srila Prabhupada is so eager to have his name mentioned each time ISKCON's name is mentioned? Why? Seems like Prabhupada is actually trying to establish himself. No, Prabhupada did it for the benefit of the future, for the benefit of the movement in the future. Because Prabhupada's position is absolutely essential further in the context of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That is why we decided to have a special seminar on this topic, Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder acharya of ISKCON. Everybody knows that Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya, but we want to have an in-depth understanding of what it actually means and why it is important and how Srila Prabhupada's position must be seen. So now I will invite questions. If you all have any questions, please feel free to ask. We have about 20 minutes.
Yes.
Have we seen in other sampradayas?
Yes.
Yes, good point. The question is whether we see the same kind of consideration in other sampradayas also. The answer is yes. And especially in the age of Kali, this united endeavor, the unified and collective endeavor for spiritual advancement is very, very important. That's why a structure is essential. And we find that other acharyas also, when they revived the teachings of their sampradaya, they also established an institution. For example, Ramanujacharya established his institution. Ramanujacharya revived the teachings of Sri Sampradaya. And he established a very specific structure, and in that structure we see that Ramanujacharya's position, although he appeared about 1,000 years ago, but his position is very clear. Therefore the sampradaya is known as Ramanuja Sampradaya, although it is actually Sri Sampradaya, but it is known as Ramanuja Sampradaya. Same is with Madhvacharya. He gave a structure. And whenever, as I mentioned, when the structure is there, the founder acharya's position in that structure is of absolute importance. Yes, other sampradayas also, though whenever there is an institution, the founder holds a very, very special position in that. Yes. The difference of other sampradayas, like which sampradayas? Rudra sampradaya. Okay, in short, we can say that the differences are very subtle. They all are personalists. They all accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But their Siddhanta, commentary, has a very subtle difference according to their philosophy, in order to defeat Mayavad philosophy. You see, for example, Ramanujacharya, his main objective was to establish the teachings of his sampradaya by defeating Shankaracharya's Mayavad. Now, in order to defeat them, he presented, their consideration was, their Siddhanta is known as Kevaladvaitavad, pure non-duality. Right? Advaita means non-dual. So Keval, absolute non-duality. Now Ramanujacharya established his philosophy as a special non-duality, Vishishtadvaitavad. And then Madhvacharya came and he presented his Vishishta Dvaitavad. And like that, you know. So, there is a distinct difference between Shankaracharya's presentation and this Acharya's presentation. But when it comes to their Siddhanta, it is pure Krishna consciousness, pure personalism. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu harmonized Shankaracharya's Advaitavad and the Vaishnava personalistic philosophy into his Achinta Bheda Vetattva. Both are harmonized. What Shankaracharya said is right. What Vaishnavacharyas are saying are also right. It is a matter of seeing it from the right perspective. Yes? Okay, yeah, good point. The question is, why do we need a management structure? Because ISKCON is a spiritual organization. The material corporations may need management structures, but why in ISKCON? That's the first part of the question. And the second part of the question is that you mentioned only about GBC, but what about the other aspects of management structure? Okay, so I'll treat it as two different aspects of this question. Yes, it's a spiritual organization, and why should we need a structure that is necessary for material management or material institution? Yes, it is a spiritual organization, but it is dealing with the material nature in the age of Kali, where most of the people are actually very, very materially motivated. We have to deal with materialistic people. We have to hold them together, right? Like, spiritually, in most of the people in this age are not at all advanced. Or rather, in this age, most of the people are very much influenced by the modes of material nature. So in order to structure them, right, and make them move forward in their spiritual life, and the structure of an institution is necessary. And in order to maintain the structure, a line of authority is necessary, and that is the management structure, right? So that is why we need it. Yes, when you go back to Vaikuntha, then probably we don't need any management structure. because there, you know, everybody is pure devotees. But here we are not dealing with pure, all the pure devotees. Only a handful maybe will be pure devotees, and most others are conditioned souls. Now to hold them together and guide them on the spiritual path, you need a structure. And the second part of your question is, the answer to the second half of your question is, I spoke about GBC only because I didn't want to elaborate on the ISKCON's management structure, because the main topic is actually Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya. And yes, it's not only GBC, like after the GBC there are, you know, temple presidents. That's how Prabhupada actually structured it. The GBCs are responsible for the zones, and in the zones there are many temples, and each temple is actually an unit. And in that unit, the temple president is the head of the institute, head of the temple. And then the temples have different departments, and those departments have the department heads. And in this way, the structure has been given by Srila Prabhupada. But they are functioning under the GBC, and GBCs collectively as a body is representing Srila Prabhupada. Sufficient to have? These two are the most essential consideration. And of course, there are many other things are necessary, right? There has to be devotees, because without the devotees, what is the point of the structure? What is the question of the structure? So devotees have to be there, and temples have to be there as the places of worship and the places of education. All the other things are there, and that is what comprises the institution. But in that institution, these two are the most important consideration: Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya and the structure of management. And then when you have these two things in place, then you can have unlimited number of individuals joining the movement, and the movement will keep expanding. But if you don't have these structures, even if there are three people, they'll start fighting and they will, you know, go astray. Like, in this respect, I often think of an army. Like, army has a mission, right? To fight the enemy or protect the country from the attacks of the enemy. Now, in an army, the structure and the line of authority is of absolute importance. An indisciplined army, can it fight the enemy? No. But when the line of authority is properly set, and they know who they are fighting for, like, you know, the head of the country, the king, and then there is generals, and then there are different officers, and then the army, and there is a clear line of authority. And as they follow the line of authority, the more more disciplined they are, and more effectively they are able to follow the line of authority, the more successful the army will be. Similarly, in ISKCON, the more we recognize Srila Prabhupada's position, and more we recognize the structure of our institution, and more disciplined the individuals in our society becomes, the more powerful our society will be. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Regarding the point you made in the beginning that
You see, people get what they want, right? See, when many people approach God, but everybody don't have the same prayer, right? Therefore, while in India they were begging for pure devotion, in Europe they were asking for material prosperity. And since the Lord was here, everybody got what he wanted. Europe is basically materialistic. Therefore, their progress was more in the materialistic direction. But still, it has its spiritual connotation. Christianity did flourish through Renaissance. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Yes, let me answer. I'm not going to comment on... Okay, the question is, for everybody's sake, the question is, what is the difference between those who join Gaudiya Math and those who join ISKCON? Like their difference of spiritual progress. What is the difference in their spiritual progress? Well, spiritual progress is difficult to say because it's an individual thing. But as far as propagating Krishna consciousness is concerned, fulfilling the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is a difference. Those who join ISKCON and function under the structure of ISKCON, they will become a very important instrument in propagating Krishna consciousness all over the world. Whereas when they opt for joining some other institution, they will not be able to do it to that extent. I know it will be a controversial point, but at least this is my view. I mean, if you want to become an instrument in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hands, to fulfill his prediction of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, then join ISKCON and stay in ISKCON. Yes, I'll take his question. Anyway, I don't want to get into that because after all they are our seniors and we are not in a position to judge them. We have a respectful attitude towards them. And whatever they are, Prabhupada can say so many things. He said also, I may criticize my God brothers, but you can't. I will take, Paramdham Prabhu. If we do that, that was just a hypothetical consideration. If it happens, then what will be the problem? Okay, good question. The question is that you mentioned that hypothetically, if we consider that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the founder acharya of ISKCON, then, ISKCON will not, you know, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's followers who are not fully lined up with ISKCON will come and claim the proprietorship of this institution, and the institution will fall apart. Now, your question is, what will happen, or what's the harm? What will happen? Okay, so another hypothetical consideration. What will happen? okay. I'll give just a hypothetical or, you know, answer to that, in the sense, like, consider Sony has been established by Mr. Sony. Then Mr. Sony died. And the line of management structure that Mr. Sony had, you know, that is taken over by his family members, who had nothing to do with Sony's organization from the beginning. They take over. What will happen to Sony? You get my point? You see, it's fall apart. Like, you see, Prabhupada created ISKCON, Prabhupada knew how to, Prabhupada established ISKCON, worldwide, international society. Prabhupada knew how to manage it. Therefore, Prabhupada structured in a certain way. Therefore, the success of this institution lies in implementing the policy and the strategy that Srila Prabhupada gave. Right? And if somebody doesn't follow that, he will not be able to successfully manage this society, or, you know, move this society forward. Like, say for example, what we notice, one of the major problems that we face is that they don't want to accept the authority of the GBC. Right? You bring them in, you say, okay, come join ISKCON. And they will come and join ISKCON, and they will say, well, I don't have to follow the GBC. I have my guru, and my guru has his thing, ashram. And so why should I follow your GBC? Who are they? I am, you know, a different... I don't belong to your institution. Now, if that line of management is not there, if there is no authority to control the individuals, and everybody starts to act in his own whimsical way, then what will happen to the structure? Did you consider that? So that is what will happen. On the other hand, ISKCON actually has a resolution. We passed a resolution, I think, 4 years back. And the resolution says that anybody, irrespective of which sampradaya, which guru he is coming from, if he accepts Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya and the preeminent shiksha guru, and if he accepts that the GBC is the ultimate managing authority, he can join ISKCON. So our door is wide open. Yes, anybody can come. But he'll have to accept Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder acharya, as the preeminent shiksha guru, and the GBC as the ultimate managing authority. So it doesn't matter who is your guru. Yes, you can worship your guru, you can follow your guru, but if you just accept the GBC and Srila Prabhupada, fine, you're a genuine member of ISKCON, bona fide member of ISKCON. Yes. Yeah. The question is, why Gauriya Math became divided after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance? It became divided because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked his followers to manage the society collectively through a GBC body. Form a GBC, and through the GBC you manage the society. Now, after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, One group wanted to follow the GBC, but another group didn't want to follow. They wanted to make an acharya. They said, how a spiritual organization can run through a body of managers? We need an acharya. So they, defying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions, appointed an acharya. And then this acharya had some problems, spiritual problems, and he fell down. So when he fell down, the structure collapsed. Yes. 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 Okay. The question is that we see in Christianity, after some time, Christianity deviated from Jesus Christ. Now, can it happen in ISKCON also? 10,000 years. Okay. So, whether it can happen. My answer to that will be that there was a room for deviating from Jesus Christ in Christianity, because there was no written documentation of Jesus' teachings. Right? What we got as Jesus' teachings was from the apostles. Jesus himself didn't write the books, right? And then Christianity was established by Constantine, a king. He gave it a shape according to his understanding. And that is how Christianity actually deviated from Jesus Christ. But in ISKCON, we do not have that possibility, because Prabhupada's books are there. Prabhupada's instructions are very clear in his books. And if we follow Srila Prabhupada's books, if we don't deviate from Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then ISKCON will remain intact on the main path. That's why books are so important. Like, you see, there is no room for, say for example, if somebody comes and says, well, their own, you don't have to follow four regulative principles. Three is good enough. Or you don't have to chant 16 rounds. Four is good enough. Some people are coming and saying that. They're getting some followers, some cheap followers, you know, like if you, you know, slacken the standard like that, yeah, many more people will come. But what will happen? There will be a deviation from the main teachings of Srila Prabhupada. But in ISKCON, there is no room for that. If somebody comes and says, well, I am an acharya and I am saying from now on you follow three regulative principles, right? Then what will happen? Immediately, the GBC body will get on his case. And so where in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada is saying that? So that is the difference. And that is why GBC is so important, because no individual can supersede the authority of the GBC in ISKCON. GBC is the ultimate managing authority. No matter how big you are, how powerful you are under the GBC. And if the GBC says that, you know, you are off and you can't function in your position, you have to step down. And that is the uniqueness of ISKCON. Yes.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah. The International Society for the point actually is that, you know, the GBC is eventually serving the society, serving the members of the society. Yes, that's true. It is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What does it simply mean? The International Society for the Servant of the Servants of Krishna. And in this structure, the higher you go, bigger of a servant you become. It is not an international society for masters, but international society for the servants. Everyone in this society is a servant. So in this structure, when you go high, what does it mean? Do you become a big boss? No. The higher you go means higher or greater of a servant you become. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is identifying himself as what? The servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Yes. And that is what is very, that is what we all have to recognize, that we all have come here to become servants. To try to lord over is Maya. The tendency to lord over is Maya. So if we want to get rid of the influence of Maya, what we have to do? We have to give up the tendency to lord over. And we have to become the servants. More advanced means a greater servant, bigger service attitude. Okay, so we are already 10 minutes over time. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.